This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
I kind of go back and forth on the rock bands doing the sort of the ballads. When it's done well, it works.
Yeah.
I kind of like my Aerosmith a little more rock and roll.
Sure, but if you're at their concert and they're going 3 hours long, you either can take a little reprieve or just go off and get your beer or your t-shirt or whatever.
Gives you the moment in the concert.
I do wonder, and I don't have anything against, I think guys should play gals as long as they want to. I mean, there's no, you know, such thing. We kind of, as I was trying to tell you earlier, and Tanya is in the ballpark, if you were born like I was in 1966, you know, that was sort of when rock and roll music, I mean, there was some earlier stuff in the 60s, but so by the time we got to the 80s, there was only 30 years worth of music,
right?
Rock and roll music, right? And then the offset of that, hip hop and all the other genres. Now you get to 2023 and that catalog, and because of digital and everything else, is 18,000 times bigger than it was by the 1980s.
You know, that's
so you have
challenge.
More of a collection of that time you grew up with because there was less of it.
You're correct.
Does that make sense?
It does. And it's also my challenge to look for new music. I don't sometimes because I get so overwhelmed by the volume of what's out there.
Now, Nick would suggest, I think, that it's probably easier now to find new music than it's ever been before.
Is it?
It is. But on the flip side, we've talked about this. The same thing holds true. It's the idea of I've got 700 channels. There's nothing on. Netflix has 1,000 movies.
Right.
I'll watch The Office because I know I like it and I don't want to pick the wrong thing and waste time when I know this is good. So it makes sense from the standpoint of if I'm going to play a good song, why don't I just play Tom Petty? I got it right here.
Right. But I will tell you that Apple brought me back to music. You know, when the iTunes store sort of introduced, you know, a song at a time. And I read a really interesting thing about the pricing on that. Evidently, in a meeting, like Steve Jobs just said, yeah, 99 cents sounds right. I mean, that is the extent of how they decided what a song would cost.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, they were introducing the whole concept that has now gone unbelievably out of the barn and will never go back of microtransactions in a mass way.
Yep.
I mean,
but it also made music portable. I mean, you know, when I could go to the gym and have at that time an iPod, you know, and I think I had the original. I don't know how many songs you could put on it. I mean, that's crazy. It sounds like. What was that?
The Nano and the Shuffle.
Yep. The Shuffle was the tiny one. You could like
just
you know.
Forward and back. Yeah. And that's it. Yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing. People would go $13 for an album. No way. And then spend $27 on individual songs.
Right.
And not even blinking.
But you got the 27 songs
that
you wanted. You didn't get an album that had 2 songs you wanted and 10 you didn't care about.
Right. So you stopped exploring that experience
but
of buying an album.
But we did that with 45s and even single cassettes. I mean, you could always, you know, they weren't 99 cents, but you could buy a single.
For $3.99, wasn't it like $3.99?
Probably. Probably more expensive in the 60s, you know, when the stuff was, you know.
Right.
But anyway, it has changed. Now, I got to tell you, I got to laughing so hard. We heard this ad for the Silver Singles app during the top of the hour news, and it jarred my memory about the Villages, this retirement resort in Florida, having the highest STD rates in the nation, because it's two things you don't put together in your head. But as a medical professional, because someone today told me this has been a problem in nursing homes forever.
For sure. I've heard that. I don't work in
long-term
care industry. However, anecdotally, I have heard that. And you just it's just like any other illness that gets transmitted. You know, if you are sexually active at any age, STIs can be transmitted. And so
what do you call them?
Sexually transmitted illnesses. Yeah.
Oh, see, I can't keep up with your acronyms.
Well, because they're not
STIs.
All diseases.
Yeah. STIs
That's
is
why
what
the
I's
a little
now,
more
but
inclusive.
But you can call them STDs. It's interesting. So we're doing this morning.
Now, do you just change the acronym just to screw with us? Because I feel like we get STD down finally.
Sure, we know what that
I
is.
I don't have to explain what it is, and then you hit me with STI.
Sorry about that.
No. It's good to know. Good to know.
So
what would be the difference? Why the name change?
You know what? I can't speak to that other than there's multiple illnesses that are sexually transmitted, and not all of them, to Nick's point, are considered diseases. I also think there's stigma with STD versus STI, and you know the people that come up with these acronyms are very, very conscientious around stigma. So
I wish they would be conscientious about is like just relating to people and giving information.
You're correct. And I think that this is
because I feel like they'd rather us not know what the hell you're talking about rather than hurt anybody's feelings.
You are correct. And I would say that when you think about why they're so prevalent in retirement communities is
proximity.
Stigma. Oh, well, stigma. Oh. You know, if you don't want to mention this to your doctor to get treatment.
Yeah, you're not getting it cleared up. You're just going from party to party.
It is.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah. And so it's not addressed by people in that age group because of stigma oftentimes. And so, you know, there's a lot less stigma in younger people around treatment of these. And we've done a really good job in our public education campaigns of getting that message out to the younger generations. However.
Okay. So, you know, we've tapped into something here. Now, this is very relevant to today's conversation in general, is that you've got in this country right now, you know, a certain age group of which I happen to technically be in, but I feel like I'm going the other way, that is just hell-bent on not changing anything and reclaiming what they can feel to be the glorious past. Mm-hmm. Yet they are glaringly, like, you know, either unaware of or unable to confront reality in a lot of ways, whereas young people, like, we don't want any of this in the schools, but the being in the schools is what's caused young people to be better.
Right.
Right. I mean, you could change this topic about anything, but that's this clash of this generational clash we seem to have now. And that's, by the way, I mean, you can go back to the Vietnam War, the hippies. Sure. There's always been a generational clash. People don't understand the ones coming before them. The ones before them don't understand, and as I touched on at the Richland graduation, it's like, you know, every generation has, you know, their blind spots.
Yes.
And then the future generation, the one coming up, sees through that blind spot, but they don't realize they have a blind spot too. And then the next generation comes up and can see that blind spot, but they also have blind spots.
You're correct.
And so that's how we evolve and get better as people.
It's true. It's true. And I think this particular health issue, I really think stigma and lack of knowledge and that lack of understanding. So the generation that is facing this, so the sort of age 60 and up, there wasn't as much education when they were younger around STDs because
it was taboo.
It was taboo. So they've carried that stigma and that taboo. So they're probably functioning with not good factual information.
I can close my eyes and see some guy with a with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, a cup of coffee, talking about those drug addict kids and screwing around when he's walking around with syphilis.
Well, trick or chlamydia is probably more likely. Ah! But we'll just not go there.
Okay. No, I mean, we'll go there.
And it's really interesting because one of the things that physicians are doing is asking about this, but people aren't always honest. So physicians do ask in routine medical appointments.
Let me ask you about that because I recently sat in, it wasn't me, but a loved one had a procedure, and it had been a while since I had been through the hospital experience. And Nick and I were talking about this yesterday. I was a little taken aback by the questions that were asked because I just hadn't, you know, seen that in a while.
Who's saying yes to that stuff? You know, it makes you wonder.
Yeah, there's a lot of personal and social questions being asked now because they're very relevant to your health.
They are, but how many people are being honest about it?
You'd be surprised.
Okay.
You'd be surprised. When people are afraid, particularly around substance use, when they're afraid of how that might impact, say, anesthesia, oftentimes they will disclose that information.
Okay.
But oftentimes they won't. You know, again, there's stigma. And I think that that's why routine lab work gets done, because healthcare professionals can tell a lot about significant substance use by lab work. You know, your liver enzymes will give a picture of, you know, if there's significant alcohol use for a long period of time or things like that. But it's still important to be honest with your healthcare provider because they're not there to judge. They're there to make good decisions about how to treat you. And so those questions are asked. But yeah, it is very much a social history is what it's called, is a part of a regular assessment.
And so how do you assure, or I don't know that you can, but I mean, for people, the one thing I do it's not paranoia, but I understand people who have paranoia yeah. about your medical records, about privacy, mm-hmm. about things being digitized, about yeah. just employee access. We all know every time a celebrity ends mm-hmm. up in a hospital because somebody in that hospital leaks it out, right? Mm-hmm. And so I get the honesty thing, but I also get why people are a little like, well, why do you need to know that? And what are you doing with that?
Correct. And again, I think that is why, you know, privacy and security are on the forefront for healthcare providers. You know, it is a terminable offense in my organization if you breach privacy, and in most healthcare organizations, and not multiple, you don't get three strikes and you're out.
But is it a crime?
It depends.
It feels
on
to me like people lose their
it.
Jobs, but they don't get charged with something.
You know, and I'm not a legal expert here. There are certain parts of that can be seen as criminal depending on the type of breach
yeah.
and what's done with the breached information.
Right. And that's a human side of mm-hmm. like somebody working there doing it. But mm-hmm. then you've got the other side of bad actors, you know, trying sure. to come in and steal stuff when it's all available.
Well,
and then, you know, what is my watch collecting? And, you know, yes. how does, I mean, so we've never been more, mm-hmm. I mean, we got all the upside of it is we've never been more technologically plugged in to be able to help sure. you live longer and help your health than ever before. Bad side is it's
privacy.
All out there.
Mm-hmm. Privacy is a challenge.
I mean, we never had to worry about Marines wearing Fitbits and being targeted in Sri Lanka because nope. they can identify where they are by, you know, I mean, that's
it's crazy.
By the run patterns world. Of their exercise.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And those same stigma and privacy concerns, I'm sure, underpin why folks in retirement communities don't get treatment for their STIs. So there you have it.
STIs. See, I learned something today. I'm going to write that down.
Yes. Yes. It's an important acronym.
Okay. Ready.
Here for some public health information See? This morning.
Well, you are also a guest who doesn't bring in any notes and can mm-hmm. take any curveball
sure.
That's thrown at you. I'm telling you, it's just rare.
Well, I don't have a memory as sharp as Raphael's.
I don't know that anybody does.
Man, she's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she really is.
She's impressive.
And just does it with such ease. Yep. You know, I envy people like that.
Yeah, mind like
we
a steel trap.
Get her on the trivia team, really.
There you go.
Does that translate?
She can whatever well, she has
look,
in her resume.
If there's
she
a
can
Millikan category, you're winning,
well,
right?
I mean, whatever yeah. she knows, she could recall it.
Man.
Some of us know stuff and can't get to it.
If you ever want to feel not smart, go to a high school scholastic bowl meet
yeah.
and just observe.
Yeah.
You'll walk away feeling inadequate.
So it's not like the spelling bee because that mm-hmm. makes me uncomfortable.
No, it's not. It's sort of quizzing, quiz bowl type thing.
Yeah.
And just the level of questioning and the math problems they do and the speed at which they accomplish it, it just makes you feel pretty inadequate pretty quickly.
I've done yeah. parent-teacher mm-hmm. versus the teams,
oh,
and
man.
There are times where they're, here's your scratch paper, and I'm like, what am I? I'm just going to doodle for the 30 seconds. I don't yeah. even know where to start on this equation.
Have you listened in before?
Oh, yeah. I've done it. I've competed against them.
And?
There's like general knowledge, hang right in there. Mm-hmm. Stuff that's very specific that they are drilling and know, I put 0 points.
Okay.
Yeah. Your sports trivia kids, they're usually pretty amazing.
Yeah.
There's always a sports expert on the team.
You know, yeah. but I would encourage that person to get some other hobbies. That is such an, I mean, it's not that it's a narrow lane. It's a mm-hmm. big lane in popularity, but mm-hmm. it's such a lot of people that I know that's the only thing they're into.
Yeah.
It's like hard for them to relate to anything else.
But it's good to stretch your brain legs out and know how to.
But as long as you yeah. do
other things.
Mm-hmm. There's yeah. some people that's the only lane they're ever in.
Yeah. It's not me.
Huh? No.
It's not me.
But you have kids that are sports and you do that.
We'll know a little of everything.
All right. When we get back on the other side of the break, because I do need to take a break. Favorite love song. We're in breakup songs, right? For Valentine's Day?
Sure.
We got to compile a list of the greatest of all time. Or at least what people think are the greatest of all time.
That'd
now, I've got one at the top of my head that would be mm-hmm. right in your wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm. What would that be?
The Dolly Parton, Whitney Houston.
I will always love
it. Yes. I mean, yeah. if you stick to brand here.
Can we ask real quick, did Whitney do it better? She did, right? You're all in on Dolly, and
it's
a different song.
I'm all in on Dolly. They're just different. When Whitney sings that song, it just can almost stop your heart. And, you know, so I think that Whitney performs that song better. Again, it's so much your personal opinion, but Dolly wrote it. So,
yeah, I think the song's overrated.
No, when that drum stops, you go, And I, oh,
oh man, my gosh.
What'd he do?
Have you seen the cute little TikTok video about that?
Oh, no.
There's two little kids sitting on a couch, and that is on the TV. And you can hear the mom saying, wait for it. And when that music does that stop and she sings it, both kids jump and then look even closer. It's really a cute little video for your TikTok scrolling.
That's cute.
See that?
See,
you brought the TikTok perspective
here.
There
it is.
I don't know. We got a really good show for not even sure whether we're going to be in today.
Yeah,
right?
This could have gone the whole other way.
Okay. We'll take a break. Back with more right after this.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
At Milligan University, we know academics are undoubtedly central to the experience. But college is so much more than that. A Milligan education means you pave the way of your own future and continue to follow your passions after high school graduation. With over 75 organizations and clubs, active Greek life, nationally renowned performing arts, and championship athletics, you're sure to find your fit on Milligan's thriving campus. Your future starts at Milligan. Submit the free application for admission at milligan.edu/apply.
John, the price of groceries is enough to send somebody into a panic mode these days.
Yeah, especially when the refrigerator goes kaput.
Even more so. We got a call from a customer who had that problem with a freezer load of those expensive groceries.
And that'll keep you awake at night just thinking about it.
Right. So, because Dick Van Dyke stocks the 100 most used parts, we were able to send a factory-trained tech out to her place to fix the problem before she lost any of that food.
And he wasn't some subcontractor either.
Trained right here locally by the team of Dick Van Dyke.
You know, one way to fight inflation?
Yep.
Keep from having to buy expensive stuff twice.
Yes, you got that right.
This is Dennis Regan, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store, which means you have the comfort of knowing that if anything goes wrong, we'll make it right. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
It's strange what desire will make foolish people do.
It's the remake of Chris Isaak's song.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Wicked Game.
I like his version better. It's got a weird thing, though, to it that musically upsets some people.
Yep.
I'm not that snob. I kind of am. Like, I don't think we can allow anything from Taylor Swift in the contest.
Oh, come on.
That's all she does is break up songs.
It's her genre. Hook her up.
I know, but you got to stretch a little, right?
She's got some good love songs.
It's just her life in music.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Tanya Andrix is in studios here with Crossing Healthcare. And, well, we've covered the gamut. We got the fall in love, we got the breakup, and we got the STI treatment for you. So it's just right in line with everything you need public health-wise. Yes, mm-hmm. I think so. Mm-hmm. Go Your Own Way by Fleetwood Mac would make my list.
Love that song.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is literally not only a breakup song, but about a breakup in the band with Stevie Nicks and and what's his face? Why am I drawing a blank on Lindsey
Buckingham?
Lindsey Buckingham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was them writing a breakup song while in the same band on the same stage together. That's got to be the most awkward of awkward.
Yeah, I don't have any authority, but I would absolutely not like a list that has You're So Vain on it. That's my least favorite song of all time.
Well, the only thing with that song, and I like Carly Simon, is the mystery of who it's about.
Right.
And over the years, it's been Mick Jagger, it's been Warren Beatty, it's been, you know, all these names. And I don't know, is she really ever confirmed?
I don't know. I don't want anything to do with that song. I hate it.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's just so... It's such a gimmick, and I don't know. I just don't like it at all. It makes me not feel good.
That's a really strong reaction to a song that was done before you were born.
I know. Just don't like it.
Don't like it.
How often do you run into it?
far less now that I'm adult.
Was your mom just making you listen to it?
I mean, if it came on, I'd be like, turn it off. Nope. This is on the station we're on. Deal with it, bud.
But this is so hard because most music is written about feelings and emotions, and nothing spurs more of that than love. And so I don't feel like all music is a love song, isn't it?
Can be.
Well, or a breakup song.
Yeah.
You had Blood on the Tracks. I mean, you know, Bob Dylan, and when mm-hmm. Tom Petty got a divorce, you know, there was a in the documentary, the keyboardist, Ben Montaigne, talking about how out of destruction and despair comes great art, you know. Mm-hmm. And so if you listen to that one album when he was going through that, it is completely different than anything else they were doing. Yeah. So yeah, I think there's.
I also like the this is common in hip hop. I remember Tupac doing this and Common doing this, where they would say Common, you know, the actor, his song he had used to love her, but he's talking. It sounds like he's talking about a woman, but he's talking about the city of Chicago, mm-hmm. using analogies and metaphors. Yeah. And I kind of like that stuff too.
Yeah, but that won't go on our break.
No, it shouldn't. Yeah.
Crying by Roy Orbison.
It's a good one.
Missing You, John Waite, the whole denial thing about. Mm-hmm. I watched a documentary about John Waite that nobody.
Yeah, he's been coming up
a little
more frequent than he should.
Listen to that,
huh?
I heard you talk about.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like.
And I was just, wasn't it Kevin Brahaney who actually knew who that was?
You don't know who John Waite is?
After I heard the conversation, I did, but I didn't place it at first.
Mm-hmm. You remember the babies?
No. I don't. I'm sorry.
How about Every Breath You Take by The Police?
Mm. Creepy.
Creepy video.
But breakups, all right?
I don't know.
No, you're thinking about the teacher and the kid. Mm-hmm. This was more the stalking, right, side of things.
Yeah, I'll be watching you. Literally everything you do, every single breath you take, I will be there watching you.
My daughter in her mid-20s thinks that's one of the creepiest songs in the world.
It is.
Like, mm-hmm. she's like, how was that ever popular? Yeah. How was that a thing?
Well,
what's
because
wrong with
we,
your generation?
We forget that we've evolved just yes. a little bit since the mid-80s.
Seriously.
How about Cry Me a River by Justin Timberlake? That's wasn't that one. About the Britney breakup?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
Britney's got a lot of angry songs on her.
Yeah, she's not doing so well right
album?
Now, too.
Yeah, she's not.
Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah. I just played that the other day.
Yeah, I remember that.
Christina Aguilera has Fighter. That's good.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm.
How about Old School, Always on My Mind by Elvis Presley?
Oh, that's beautiful.
And then I think, didn't Willie Nelson do that?
Mm-hmm,
and
he did.
And then what's his face?
So a lot of good country music breakup songs.
Spanish-speaking guy that then had kids that were musicians. Who the hell am I thinking of?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought he did a duet with like Willie Nelson. Am I just making this up?
That I don't know.
Perhaps. I don't know.
Julio Iglesias.
Iglesias. Enrique, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good-looking
guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julio was a little older.
Yeah, Enrique. They said that he was a terrible singer, and he got called on it, and then he proved that he could sing.
Yeah, he can sing.
Yeah,
sure he can.
Because somebody pulled a feed out of a mix.
By the way, that song I think was first recorded by Brenda Lee. It wasn't an Elvis original, but then that's one mm-hmm. of those like they have multiple versions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I think this list will end up being endless.
It has to be because again, so much of music is a love song.
Mm-hmm. Or a breakup song.
Yeah, you're not even touching the genre of R&B, which is almost exclusively that.
Love.
Yeah, some of the great mm-hmm. Motown stuff, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Up into the New Edition, Boys to Men. I mean, greatest love songs, you know, in terms of...
I think it's therapeutic, though. I think mm-hmm. it's therapeutic for the artist, but I think it's therapeutic for people when they're dealing with, you know, love and breakups to sort of find that music to...
Or just help, driving around town, too.
Help to cope. It's good stuff. You know, there's a lot of music now written around substance use disorder. We have our patients. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, there's a lot of musicians and artists who struggle with addiction, drug addiction, and it's very much a topic in music. And that was something I learned in the last few years as we've worked with this population. And it's really powerfully healing. So
the
I think
creative
that,
part
yeah,
of that.
Yeah.
I think that if I to be fair, also... Rap does mm-hmm. substance and makes it a positive thing.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they you know, there's good
it's
and
helpful.
Bad. Yeah, it
yeah.
can be very helpful.
It's helpful. Yeah, lots of love songs. I think for every person and for every opinion about genre, there's a set of love songs that's powerful for them.
Oh, I think that's probably right. I was, you know, of course, Heard It Through the Grapevine would be, and you got to go the Marvin Gaye version as much as mm-hmm. I like, mm-hmm. you know, Gladys Knight and the Pips. And then what was the Great Temptations? Not Ain't Too Proud to Beg, but there was the other one that the Rolling Stones did a remake of. Ah!
Tip of my tongue. Hmm.
If only Raffaella were here.
She'd know.
She'd know it.
Does anybody love I Hate Myself for Loving You?
What is that?
Isn't it Joan
Jett? Yeah, Joan Jett, yeah.
Yeah. Is that what it's called? Is that the name of the song?
I don't know if that's the name of the song, but that is absolutely the song. I know what you're talking about.
Yes, it's Joan Jett. I like that.
There's also a Joan Jett documentary, by the way, that's worth watching if you're a Joan Jett fan. She's been a fighter her whole life.
Yeah.
Okay, see, it's...
I think the edgy...
Do we have it quit? I'm having fun. I don't want to go.
I think the edgy songs are the best.
The edgy?
The edgy breakup songs. All right.
We'll continue this all the way to Valentine's Day. Give you a reason to go out and be creative and listen to something. Tanya, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.